everyone, this is John.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is the Pokemon Show for the month of October 2016. Wes is not here.
I know, that's a shame.
Where is Wes?
That's a good question. I mean, have you heard from him?
I have not heard from him in like two weeks.
He's laying low. He's been kind of underground.
Some shady's going on there.
Yeah.
But we got a lot to get to. We're going to press on without him. We're, of course, not going to be able to do a Who's That Pokemon or anything like that this time around, because it would just be...
Well, I was going to give you the answers for next time.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I'll give you the answers, and then we can really embarrass Wes.
He will have no idea. He doesn't listen to this.
He's so mad.
He does. I think some of it he's playing up for the microphone, but other times, like, no, he is legit mad that he is bad at this. So we do have a lot of other stuff to talk about, though. There's been quite a bit of news since we last did a Pokemon show for Pokemon Sun Moon. And there's also been a bunch of Pokemon Go stuff happening. And then I've got a run through of Fire Red started up. And are you still plugging away at Uranium?
Yeah, I have been.
Cool.
Got a little bit further, so a little more stuff to talk about.
Cool, so we'll get to that as well. But let's start off with the news. Mm-hmm. The first thing actually isn't Pokemon Sun Moon or Pokemon Go related. I don't know if it's the Pokemon Company. Mm-hmm. I think it might be Pokemon Company in partnership with someone else, I don't remember who, started putting up these little video shorts on YouTube called Pokemon Generations. Have you seen any of these?
I have not, no. What's it about?
They do basically like side stories to Pokemon games. So it reminds me a lot of actually Pokemon Origins, which we watched the first few episodes of that not too long ago. And it's sort of the same animation style, but rather than tell the story of this main character who's on this Pokemon journey, it does like little side stuff. Like the first one that comes to mind is it actually shows Gary, or I think they call him like Blue in the show, but the rival going through the Elite Four and becoming champion. Mm-hmm. And that short ends with Red, or you know, Ash, so whoever the main character is, like his shadow coming through ready to challenge the rival. So it's just different perspectives. Oh, and another one was like the police taking down the Viridian Gym, Giovanni already being gone. So nice. It's funny though because they're just really short little vignettes of different perspectives on the.
Like how long are they?
4 or 5 minutes at most. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty short. I don't think they're limiting themselves to just like Gen 1. I think they're going to move past Gen 1 to some other stuff. And they may have already. They've uploaded a few more videos since that's I last cool. watched them.
So you might see some happenings with the gym leaders from different generations or something like that?
Yeah, maybe. Huh. Maybe. It's just a cool little thing that they started doing. But let's move over to some...
Where Lance discovers there's a second kind of dragon.
Oh, that reminds me. One of the other ones that they did was Lance... You know, like in Gen 2, I don't know how much you've played the second generation Pokemon games. Me and Wes played them to death.
Yeah, I know. That's like your guys' expertise. I played a little bit of it. I mean, especially on like emulators and stuff, but it was never one that I was huge into.
Do you remember the part where there's that red Gyarados in the lake, and then you have to take down this Team Rocket hideout to solve some sort of mystery at the lake about the red Gyarados?
Yeah.
You actually partner up with Lance in taking down that base, but instead of Pokemon Generations showing the perspective of the main character, it shows the perspective of Lance. So Lance is just going through this Team Rocket base, destroying everyone with a Dragonite. It's like literally no challenge. Dragonite is actually getting a little bit like bored and like mocks them. Yeah. It's like, oh, go Zubat and Rattata. And Dragonite is like smiling at it, like, this is the shit you're throwing up against me.
Yeah. Well, they're kind of self-aware then, I guess.
Yeah.
They realize that some of the grind of the game is when you're going up against, you know, a bunch of garbage.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So let's move over to some actual Pokemon Sun and Moon. Not Sun and Noon.
Sun and Noon. It's like always daytime. The sun never sets in this world.
We got some new Pokemon revealed actually just today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, breaking news. Uh-huh. They showed in Korokoro Magazine, they showed the Alolan form of Grimer.
Yeah.
Who also retains the poison type, also becomes a dark type as well. So much like Rattata.
It gets teeth, apparently.
Yeah, gets some teeth in there.
Yeah, and has been getting into the honey.
I mean, if
he's got some yellow stuff all over his face.
Well, see, I guess that's like an indication of you are a dark type because you have teeth, I suppose.
Yeah, fair point. Yeah, how else is he going to learn Crunch?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Or Bite.
Okay, yeah, what's a Grimer going to do if it bites you?
Yeah, that's
That'd
true.
Be silly.
Dark Pulse? But it's a physical, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a Grimer and... Like, I forget what the run-through. I think it was that run-through where we did a type draft, where we could have one of every type or something.
Oh, an Oris, yeah.
Yeah, and I ended up getting a Grimer, and he was amazing. He was so much fun to play with. It's actually surprisingly tanky.
It's interesting.
Oh, the white play a dark type. I don't get that.
I don't know. It's just
it doesn't really make much sense to me.
Like Rattata and Raticate, they're just making everybody a dark type at this point. But it's
dark
interesting.
Or ice.
Yeah, and Meowth. Meowth becomes a dark type as well.
Yeah. Just everyone's that, a fucking that dark. That makes sense. I mean, I feel like Meowth should have been. It just didn't exist. The dark type didn't exist in the first place at that point.
Right.
And they didn't go back and retcon it like they would with Magnemite.
Right.
But,
right.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of funny that...
Tangent. Pokemon Go. Has we'll talk about Pokemon Go later. But
indeed.
Did you notice that there are dark type moves in it? There's dark type moves, but since it's just the first generation, there's no dark type Pokemon.
Right.
Strange.
Yeah, nothing from Gen 1 got changed into a dark type.
Yeah, I find that bizarre.
But it's also bizarre that I don't know. I think it's a little weird the order that they revealed these things, because I started off with like Exeggutor, who is still a grass type but also becomes a dragon, becomes like this really weird shaped Pokemon. And they did, like, Vulpix and Sandshrew and Marowak, like, Pokemon that are fundamentally changing their types.
Yeah.
And the most recent ones they've done, like Raichu and, like, Rattata, Raticate and Grimer, they're all retaining their original types. They're just adding something else in there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, maybe it would have been a little bit more exciting if they started, like, with the more normal stuff.
Yeah, like, why did Raticate have to hang on to that normal type? Why couldn't it have just gone pure dark type?
Now he's double weak to fighting, great.
Yeah, that's like, it seems pointless. Unless they're going to do something really different with the stats to make this thing a different style or a different play differently.
Maybe.
I just don't get it.
I mean, that Raticate might be kind of tanky. He's a little chubby. He's like a Snorlax type.
Yeah, I don't know. Unless there's, like, some kind of trick they're trying to turn it into, what, like, Pichirisu or something, or... all of the berry-eating weirdos out there.
Right, right.
I don't get it.
So we got a bunch more Pokemon revealed. There's the Pokemon, and the Pokemon's name is Type Null.
Type Null.
Yeah, and I think that there was a little bit of confusion when this thing was revealed because people were thinking that it was a new type, like a Null type.
Yeah, well, isn't that what... I think there was a couple of moves that were called Null type from the first gen that were just like... They eventually got reworked into ghost-type moves.
They're like question marks. Like,
yeah,
like a ninja, like curse or something like that.
Yeah.
But the Pokemon named Type Null is a normal-type Pokemon. And is this really weird shape, like kind of like a dog-looking thing. But actually just today we also found out its evolved form. It evolves into a Pokemon called Shiruvati.
Mm-hmm.
And... The evolution change, the evolution type that it changes into, if I'm reading this correctly, is based on the item that it is holding.
So, really?
Oh, no, sorry. Not like what it changes into. Like, the Pokemon has different types that it can be once it evolves. Think of like a cast form. Like, the type changes depending on the weather. This one, the type can change depending on what item it's holding.
Uh-huh. And its body looks a little funky. Yeah, I can kind of see that. Like, it looks like its head's supposed to be made of rock and grass, and it's got a fish tail. It's got, like, dragon dark legs or something.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
Is there steel on top of
his helmet? Yeah, it's like an axe on top of his helmet.
It's like, it looks like they're trying to throw six different types together here with this thing.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe that...
Just from the design, I don't know. And it has battle armor. That's a killer ability.
Yeah, and I suppose maybe the weird design things going on there just have to do with the fact that it can change its types around.
Yeah.
Then we also got a new Pokemon revealed. It was Jangmo-O, who is a dragon type.
Oh, well, kind of adorable.
Yeah.
We'll see what comes of this guy.
So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about more dragons. I do like my dragons, as I'm sure everyone is aware.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what they intend to do to make this one different or special. It comes with bulletproof and soundproof kind of interesting abilities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. And then also, we mentioned before, but Fat Raticate was revealed.
It looks...
During the past.
It looks absolutely stupid.
It's so silly.
Like, if there was a, you know, you didn't care about Raticate before, get ready to really not care. I don't know. It's the first one I think I'm generally, like, kind of not into of all of the Alola forms that I've seen
so far.
Yeah,
well, you know, I mean...
I don't like that dark normal type, and it just looks... It looks worse than Raticate. And I think if you look... The only good designs that I think like Raticate had is when it was the pixel ones from the first couple gens.
Mm-hmm.
When they actually started animating the thing, it looks like it's just a shitty little rodent. It doesn't look cool.
Well, see, you know, if there's one Pokemon that you can't really ruin, it's Raticate. Like, no one cares anyway.
Why didn't they, like, because the original design of Rattata is pretty cool. What if they actually tried to make Raticate look a little more like Rattata? Like, rather than becoming some, you know, big fatso, it becomes like a stealthy, scrawny, like, I don't know, attacker.
I don't know. It's interesting that...
I mean, it's sort of like what they did with, who is it, Perugly? It like had this cool little skinny cat that looked kind of sneaky, and then it evolves into this big, fat, stupid thing.
Yeah, was it Delcatty, then Perugly?
I think
you're right. But yeah, that was one of the things, like, by that point in the generation, that was Gen 4. That was just kind of like the go-to for your normal type, like early on normal type evolution, just coming as like this weird fatso.
Yeah.
But anyway, have we fat shamed Raticate enough here?
The thing we're shaming is the designers of these, because they could have done something cool with this guy and they chose not to.
Yeah.
And that they came up with backstories for all of these, which is interesting. Like, why do they come up with these backstories to try to be like, look at how awesome this thing is, and then it just ends up being like a little turd.
Isn't that funny though? There's like backstories to why Pokemon have changed types. Like, why are they any type in the first place?
Yeah, remember we had like 1.5 sentences to figure out what this thing was about.
Right. Now it's like, when Raticate moved to this island,
this thing bites you and it hurts forever. This carries into the afterlife the pain of this bite.
All right, we got... Have
we brought up Lycanroc?
No, but he is on the list for sure. Oh, yeah, let's cool. Let's talk about Lycanroc, because I like this form.
This guy looks really, really cool. And it has a day and nighttime form, I guess.
Right, because so that's going to pertain to the version, because in the versions, like, the versions, the time difference is going to be different because it's attached to your game clock. So,
right, yeah.
And Sun version is going to run, it's going to synchronize exactly with your game clock. So when it's noon, it is going to be noon in the game. It's going to be opposite in Moon version. So when you're playing during the day, it is going to be actually nighttime during the game. So the clock is going to tick normally, but it's just going to be opposite. So when you're playing Moon version, you get Lycanroc the midnight form. When you play Sun version, you get Lycanroc the daylight form, I think it's called. Midday form, sorry. They're both rock types.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're cool looking.
Yeah, just an interesting idea. And it's weird because that's something that they've gone heavily into and then totally neglected at other times, the whole day and night cycle of the game that exists.
Yeah.
And I really don't know why. Maybe it's because they actually had internal batteries in the cartridges and they would burn out. That they learned their lesson and not trying to make everything center around having an internal clock.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think it's cool that they're leaning back into it because...
Yeah, me too.
They're kind of implying that... there's going to be different Pokemon available during day and night with, like, the whole Raticate
and Rattata. You know, it's not like there's this pesky little window of 30 minutes for you to clock in. It's fucking nighttime.
Right.
Nighttime is a long, long time.
Right.
So,
and you know,
it's not like anyone's really hindered from catching anything if something's only available at night.
Like, back in the Game Boy Color days, you actually, like, had to play at night if you wanted to catch, like, your Spinarak.
Yeah.
Because he was only available at night. But since you're playing on a 3DS, on a modern system, you can always just change your game clock.
Yeah, you can change the internal clock and it's not going to...
And yeah, no big deal.
Yeah, true.
There are a couple more
versions.
Have we talked
about Passimian?
No, yeah. those are the other version exclusives. So you have Passimian, who is in Sun version. He is a fighting type.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a funny little ability. It's called Receiver. And what that does is it takes the ability of the Pokemon that just fainted.
Oh.
That was pretty cool. I see what you're doing there.
What did I do?
Nothing. Don't worry about it.
I don't know. What happened?
I'll let Averno post. And then...
He's 6'7"?
Right.
He's massive. He's a giant. 6'7". Oh my god. With he actually looks like he should be a tight end or something.
And the other version exclusive they revealed is for Moon version. It's Oranguru, who is a normal psychic type. So they're picking up that Gen 6 trend of adding normal onto things.
Yeah.
So I guess that negates his resistance to fighting type. Now fighting is normally effective.
Yeah.
Makes him immune to ghost, which I guess is pretty cool for a psychic.
Yeah, gets raked over the coals by dark type.
Uh-huh, indeed.
Which pretty much everybody learns a bite or a crunch.
Yep, indeed.
Yeah. But 4'11", 167 pounds. That's, by the way, only 15 less pounds and, like, 2 feet less of height compared to our last one there.
Passimian?
Yeah, and, like, I mean, I understand it's an island. It's probably going to be monkeys, but...
Well, see, the thing with Oranguru is I kind of like his ability more. His ability is telepathy, which is really... The example that they showed was in a double battle. I'm not sure how this is going to come in handy in just, like, a single one-on-one battle, but what it does is it allows you to dodge a partner's move that hits everybody. So your partner, like your partner uses Earthquake, Oranguru is it doesn't affect him, he dodges it. Nice. Or like Surf, as I think was what they showed in the video.
Hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And
better than Inner Focus, I guess, which just prevents flinching.
Yeah.
That's a kind of a worthless move. Or ability.
Right, right, because if you're a psychic type and you're getting hit by a bite or a crunch which has the chance to make you flinch, you're probably going to die anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this all those forms that we just talked about, the Passimian, Oranguru, and the Rockruff forms, were all revealed in this one trailer that was showing up a lot of like the version exclusive stuff. But they also showed some other things in that trailer. The character customization stuff from X and Y is back. Good. So you'll be able to change your clothes and your hair and your eye color, all that kind of stuff.
I thought that was really cool.
I think it'd be kind of cool if they just let you do that at the beginning. But then I suppose that's just one more thing to keep you from getting into the actual game. So maybe, it doesn't make a big difference. You're able to customize your character either way.
I'm kind of about it. I think it's really cool. I was a little bummed out that they didn't do it with Auris when they relaunched that they didn't give you any options to change the way your character looks. And granted, I think that the designs of the two characters are great. I think and especially getting to see them from their little pixels into fully realized people is cool, but part of me likes that I can change my wardrobe and look like a different kind of character if I want.
People want to be able to make their character look like them or look like whoever they want them to look.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely a good thing that this feature is back. And hopefully it's around to stay.
Yeah.
Grooming is back in to raise happiness or something like that. There's like some sort of Pokemon grooming minigame.
Yeah.
And then they also showed off the exclusive Pikachu and Eevee Z move. Pikachu has one called Caster Pika, which is an electric move, and Eevee has one called Extreme Eevee Boost, which is a stat raising move where basically like Eevee summons in all of the other Eevee forms. They all
That's awesome.
Yeah, like this beam attack, like corresponding to their colors and raises all of Eevee's stats, which is pretty cool.
Any rumblings about any new Eevee types?
Not yet.
That'd be kind of cool if there were.
It would be cool, but I think if there were going to be one, it probably would have been shown in that move, or maybe they just kind of cut it out. Maybe they are holding that reveal for later.
That's a good point. I mean, if it's not in that move, then...
Yeah.
Hmm.
Unless they're just kind of working around it.
Did we talk about, like, Tertonator? How do you say that? Tornator? Have we talked about this guy yet?
I think we have. I think we did.
This is another one?
I think it was an earlier reveal. But yeah, if you want to bring him up again, I think no problem.
Pretty heavy.
Yes.
Yeah. He's also 6'7", but he is like 467 pounds.
Some tall Pokemon. Whew. That is a big
Fire
Pokemon.
Dragon, that's interesting.
Yeah, we did talk about him.
You're worried a lot about Rock and Ground.
Mm-hmm, true.
Yeah. Oh, never mind.
So there were a couple other ones that were revealed. So we saw the possibly, most likely, second forms of the starting evolutions.
Yeah, yeah.
Rowlet evolves into Dartrix, who is a grass flying. Litten evolves into Torracat, which is a fire type. And Popplio evolves into Brionne, who is, of course, a water type.
So people were speculating that Rowlet was going to look pretentious, and he does look pretentious, sure does. Which is great. And Popplio somehow looks worse.
Poor Popplio.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's not like I have any problem with it. It's just as fine as any of the water starters or whatever, mm-hmm. I guess. I don't know. I'm not trying to single him out for being stupid or ugly. But it is so over the top. You kind of have to kind of chuckle a little bit.
It is kind of funny that I think the grass type ones of the past few generations, except for maybe like Chespin. Like Chespin was pretty tame, but like Snivy back in the fifth gen, he kind of like had this kind of snooty look to him, and Rowlet looks a bit pretentious.
That's true.
So it's kind of funny that that's the personality that gets associated with these grass type designs.
Mm.
Anyway, you got a couple of Pokemon pulled up right there. Who's that crab? I don't think we've talked about him.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly which ones of these we've gone through already. Crabrawler? Brawler?
We got another crab in the game.
Yeah, it's fighting. Oh, Iron Fist. So we got another Iron Fist to the mix.
Nice.
I always like those.
Is he fighting water or just fighting?
Just pure fighting.
Okay.
It says. So, I mean, and if it's a crab, that means it could also pick up, like, it could be like a sand crab. It could pick up ground.
That'd be
is there
cool.
ground fighting?
No, not that I'm aware.
That would be a cool combo, if that's where this is going.
Yeah.
So Hyper Cutter or Iron Fist. Hyper Cutter's a good move, too. Don't get me wrong there. And this looks like a starter, or is it like a first stage. I feel like it's got to become something else. But There's that. There's also Sandygast.
We did talk about them. That's the Ghost Sand Ground, Castle.
Yeah, it becomes a Sand Castle. What else? We talked about him yet?
Yeah, Stuffle, we talked about Stuffle.
Because it becomes that giant bear thing. Or yep. Bear, whatever. Yeah, and I think that's kind of it. I was just thumbing through them. Let me see if there's anything else. Just more Alolan stuff.
There were some other features introduced in these trailers. There was the Festival Plaza, which is an online function where other, I guess, people can put in their avatars, or maybe they're all interacting simultaneously. But you can trade with people, you can battle people in this plaza. So I guess it must be all simultaneous. You kind of like log into this specific area or town, and you're all moving around in there. There's also like little mini quests you can do in there. The trailer was talking about fulfilling people's requests and redeeming them for some sort of currency called FC. And you use that currency to do things like play mini games that raise base stats. So maybe super training is kind of being replaced by this online functionality, possibly.
I was kind of wondering what exactly they're going to keep from what they introduced with the training, Poke Emmy, and GTS, kind of all as three separate screens. I wonder if they're just going to ditch that entirely and build something new.
Maybe.
Because it seems like, and super training is kind of fun, but it's still a little abstract.
Hmm.
It's not very user-friendly. So if they have a better way of just pumping stats on things, then especially like, do you really want to set, because if you were going to fully EV train one just using super training, it's going to take you a while.
Yeah, it takes a while.
It's probably going to take you like an hour and a half to just get one guy fully figured out.
I don't think it takes quite that long, because I remember when we did our type draft and the Orison that you were talking about earlier, I mm-hmm. did EV train everything, and it did take some time. And it especially takes time when you're first doing it, like when you're first starting
out. Going through all the things, yeah.
And if you want to max out your stats, you're going to want to start with the highest level of training.
Mm.
So,
and also not pump on every single type's like speeds or special attacks if it's supposed to be like a physical fight.
Right, yeah. Right. So it is definitely a process.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, maybe a little bit more user friendly there would be nice, but we'll see what it is. Then we'll know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other extra functionality that they showed is this place called Pokemon Palago, where mm-hmm. these are actually activities that your Pokemon in your PC do for rewards. So I'm not sure if this is entirely just automated, like you send them on their quest, or this is like a mini game that you can do when you log into your PC at like a Pokemon Center. But basically there's
it's not like the trend of like tablet games where you open it up and you got to click a bunch of things every couple hours to collect items, and you know, just forcing you back into the game for something as meaningless as clicking a few things.
Not that I'm aware.
Yeah.
They did show a little bit of this.
And good.
Yeah. But there's different islands that you can send your Pokemon onto. There's one that actually you can use this to catch Pokemon. Like you send your Pokemon, your PC to this island, and what wild Pokemons will show up there that you can catch.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's one where you can send your Pokemon to search for items and then come back with stuff like Evolution Stones, which is cool.
Yeah.
There's also one that they said was a training island. I don't know if this means that Pokemon in your box can actually gain levels. That would be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just another way to think.
It's not like they'd be totally brand new. I mean, you could have always done that with daycare centers.
True.
You can pretty much throw one in the box and then just plug your DS in and let it run, and it'll be level 100 in, I think, a day.
It'd be interesting if they do have some sort of training to where you can train up things in your box while you're playing the rest of the game, because mm-hmm. that'd just be one more thing that they're putting into the game, like they did with the experience share. They give the experience share a real big overhaul in Gen 6. Just something else to allow you to have all these high-level stuff at your disposal when you're playing through. And then a couple other details.
Are you going to bring up on October 18th? They're going to have a demo?
Yep, demo on October
18th. No shit, that's awesome.
Special demo. I don't think it's actually going to be part of the regular game, but you will be able to transfer some stuff over specifically.
You just get a little Eradicate.
Specifically, there's, when you complete the demo, you get access to a Pokemon called Ash Greninja, which I think has something to do with the show. But it's like, it's a Greninja that, I guess, like, has the Ash hair. It is like some sort of maybe genetic fusion of Ash with his Greninja.
Yeah.
I don't know. It wouldn't be the first time that Pokemon like has some sort of like weird genetic fusion going on. In Gen 1, Bill turned himself into a Clefairy. and you could have left him there forever like that. He had no means.
You could keep walking in and out of the room, and he's going to start the thing over again.
Right, because Clefairy have no memory, clearly. Yeah.
Just joshing. I can't believe that they said that was
just joshing.
Just joshing. What a weird translation.
It's a line of dialogue.
I'm joking. I'm kidding.
Do you think that, like, this was done by, like, a Canadian localization team?
It could be. Joshing.
Yeah, hoser.
Yeah, hoser. Yeah.
But yeah, you can transfer that Ash Greninja to the full game if you get him at the end of the demo.
So I see they're also not throwing away Mega Evolutions.
No, Mega Evolutions are still in as well.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, I don't really particularly use Mega Evolutions. It's not something that's necessary for the game, so I'm not offended by this. There is a lot going on in here, though. There's quite a bit. And thankfully, it seems like they're probably giving themselves some time to let it all work into the game naturally, because this is supposed to be a really big game, like twice the size. At least the cartridge for the game is twice the capacity of Gen 6.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot going on in here. Hopefully it means the world is going to be pretty big. It's going to be a pretty beefy adventure. Not that there's anything wrong with the size of the games in previous generations, but...
Yeah, I mean, they still... If anything, I kind of like the feature that they added with Oris, where you have... You can fly around.
Yeah.
That's a nice feature, because I feel like it does open the whole world up, and it doesn't... It gives you perspective beyond the top-down view. Mm-hmm. You can actually kind of fly around, and while it's not like you're hovering in on a real world you can land on or something, it at least gives character to it, and it gives you a spatial sense beyond looking at just the in-game map that they've always given you.
Yeah, that's got to be back, and I can't imagine that's something that's going to get cut out. Cause
I mean, it's one of the coolest features.
Maybe that's just what Fly becomes, you know? Maybe they don't have, like, a specific flute and a specific Pokemon that allows you to soar. Maybe you're not just gifted a legendary.
Oh, yeah, that is fine by me. I like it. Yeah, maybe they can do the same with Surf. Find some way to make Surf a special thing.
Sure, why not?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we've been going on for a while about news here, so you got anything else you want to bring up? You want to take a break? What do you think?
Yeah, we can take a quick time out. I probably need another beer.
Let's do it, and then we'll come back with some Pokemon Go stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Playing a ton of Pokemon Go.
Yeah?
Like, yeah, quite a bit. Like,
that's good.
That's pretty much all I do at work. Is walk around all day and play Pokemon Go.
You're being paid to play this game.
Yeah. I'm a professional now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you were actually out of state, so you got a chance to go to a few different places. Actually, were you... You were in Georgia before we recorded last.
Yeah, and then I took a unplanned and unexpected trip to Boston as well. Yeah, and they were like... Okay, so I intended to go to a town called Helen, Georgia. And I was in Atlanta for a little bit, too. And this was just on vacation, because, like, right as the time we were recording this, we were in October.
Right.
And Helen is sort of like what Disney would imagine a German town to be like. But it's like it's in North Georgia, like right on the border with Tennessee.
Nice.
And it's a great little town. It's cute. But it was the first week of their Oktoberfest, and it's very cheap to fly up there from Florida. So, took a trip, checked it out, played a lot of Pokemon Go while I was up there, and it was... It was great. And it really did hammer home the fact that it's all regional. Like, for me, like, we get a lot of stuff here that I didn't see any of up there. I think we get, you know, I feel like we get a lot of Oddish around here.
Execute, probably.
Yeah, executes like you wouldn't believe. I know
Slowpoke and Psyduck are super common at work.
Yeah, and these are things that I don't recall seeing once. And I played, I mean, I was only up there for, I think, 3 or 4 days, but I feel like I played through my phone's battery, like, 5 times.
Nice.
And the things that they had a lot of were things that I had barely ever see around here. They had a bunch of Tauros, which is really cool. And it's also nice that that's a regional thing for this small town.
Yeah.
Just
The continent exclusive is also their regional Pokemon. That is cool.
Mm-hmm. And like Helen, Georgia itself is sort of like a 3-block area, essentially. And I'm not kidding. It is like a little Bavarian mountain town. Like it's very... I'm not kidding when I say it's like a Disney interpretation of what... This town was like...
Everyone was in Lederhosen and...
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the food was amazing and a lot of great beer. So I had a great time there. But Yeah, and also, like, in the town square, there was a ton of Pokestops, of course, and there were these nice three gyms. And it was actually kind of fun hopping around from gym to gym trying to take them all down. Because all three were kind of... It was almost like there was always one of each color up. There was always one of the... red is Valor.
Valor, right? Yeah.
And there's Instinct and Insight or something? Or Instinct
Mystic.
And Mystic.
Mystic.
So it seems like every spot
like
has one.
Asshole and Pussy, as I call them.
Yes, right. One true God and an asshole and Pussy.
I've literally never called them that before. Just now.
Yeah. But it's accurate. it was just great, and I clocked a ton of miles. I've gotten into this thing where, like, if I have incubators, I haven't spent money on the game yet. I think I might actually plug a few dollars in just to get some more incubators. I think that'd be cool.
I would absolutely do that if they just, like, if I could drop 3-4 bucks on a permanent incubator. Yes, I would absolutely do that. I
did them because my strategy is whatever the fewest kilometer eggs I have get put into the permanent one, mm-hmm. and then if I have any 10K, they get put into the.
The
temporary ones.
Yeah, yeah, kind of maximize your value there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, like maybe they cap it off. You can only have three or four permanent ones. Sure, whatever. I'll give you $10. Just let me keep on hatching.
Yeah, I would be totally on board with that if they made it, you know, some reasonable amount of money to just have another permanent incubator. I would be A-okay with that.
Have you hatched anything cool recently? Anything come to mind?
I don't know. I mean, I guess for starters, let's say, like, what's your Pokedex right now?
89.
89.
Yeah.
I've caught 78, seen 82.
Nice.
My newest stuff, again, I got all of those Tauros, which I was pretty pumped about. Nidorinos. Yeah, I'm hunting tons of Magikarps. They had some Dratinis up there. That was cool.
Nice.
Horsies. Doduos. I almost never see Doduos.
Horsies. I hardly ever see horsies.
Yeah.
They pop up on my radar at work all the time, but they never show themselves.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I think the game is still missing in a big way, is like a good tracking system.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into some of the updates they've done since the last time we talked about the game. But I mean, maybe this is a good time to do it. Because they did the whole appraisal system. So if you're into battling, it's a good way to see what you want to evolve and dump some Stardust into if you're...
Oh, and that was a big question mark I had about it, was like, does that CP bar, are all Pokemon just fixtures and then the CP bar is as good as they can be? And then the game has finally told us, no, that's not how that works.
Mm-hmm.
They can have strengths and weaknesses. It's almost like there's IVs and EVs.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. Just like the original games had. So you can have something that's got the bar almost completely filled and the stats are huge, and then you get it rated and it's like, oh, this thing's actually kind of garbage. It's just that you happen to get one that was really high, like really highly leveled already. When in reality, this, you know, one that you have that's like 14 CP is technically the best one you have on your team. You just need to pump a fucking million candies into it.
Right.
To make it, like,
and all the Stardust you have.
Exactly.
But, I mean, it seems to be most useful, or the singular use for it, is for gym battling. Which, to me, like, I've done a few gym battles since the last time we talked about this. And I got a few coins out of it. But most of the time, I'm doing this at work, and all of the gyms there are just highly contested. I think the longest I've had a Pokemon in the gym was like 20 minutes. So we got to the point where I would just kind of throw weird stuff in there to see how people handle it. So there was one particular gym where...
Did we establish where you work?
I think...
Would a regular listener be aware of where you work?
I think I have mentioned on the show that I work at Universal.
Yes. So that's like just a massive destination for warm bodies. Right. Just for living people to be in one singular location. Like, it is a theme park.
I can walk through, like, when I walk, there's like a tram or it's like transportation, yeah. I can take to get to my place of work from the employee parking lot. But when I walk, it's 1.4 kilometers from my car to my desk.
Yeah.
So it's a good way to hatch candy. And then I hit 20 Pokestops.
Yeah.
Depending on what route I take. So I am always loaded up on items there. And there's, like, of course, your Pidgeys and Rattatas. Psyducks and Slowpokes are just as common there. Magikarp are just as common there.
Yeah.
So these are the Pokemon I'm loading up the most now. Like, there's just tons of water types hanging around there. But
have you noticed that someone pointed this out, like, if you do 10 unique Pokestops in a row without repeating, you get a big payoff. Have you ever seen
that? Oh, yeah. I have gotten big payoffs before, but I never was quite sure why it happened. I thought it was kind of random.
No, that's actually why it occurs. So if you sit there alternating between the same two Pokestops over and over again, it doesn't give you that big payoff.
Interesting.
However, if you, like, I mean, Crane's Roost, like this, mm-hmm. a park in Orlando that we go to.
Yeah.
Has...
The one that's underwater right now.
No, yeah, the one that's currently underwater. By the way, listener, to put a little timestamp on where we are right now, there was a hurricane that hit Florida.
Sure was.
We're fine. Wes is dead. I mean, well, Wes had some. Technically was trying to summon it, so this is as much on him as it is on us.
Where are we even going with this? I think that's the end of the show.
Oh, Finn. You know, Crane's Roost has... 10, I think 12 total things that if you just do a lap around
it. Oh shit, it has that many?
You can check into 10. Yeah, there's wow. like 5 in just the main square.
Yeah, there's like the fountain with...
And then you go around and there's, you know, another 10. So by the time that you make that complete loop, you'll have got that 10th one, which will pay out, I think, as many items as you can get in one haul, which is like 10.
Nice.
So worthwhile if you've got a route and you're like really trying to harvest a bunch of stuff.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
The other big update was the buddy system. Which is very cool.
Yep.
You should always have a buddy with you. And when the update rolled out, it's been about a month now, but I was, you know, I was decently close to having a Growlithe evolve into an Arcanine, so that was my buddy. And a lot of these things take like 3K to just get one candy. So I had to walk like 27 kilometers with this Growlithe to make him an Arcanine. But it's pretty cool. So I have an Arcanine now.
Very good.
Another page for the Dex.
Mm-hmm.
Then I switched over to a Diglett, who also was 3K, but I was able to get that thing evolved as well. Actually, wait, no, I haven't evolved the Diglett yet because I'm holding off to do a Lucky Egg party. I got one Lucky Egg left, and I got like 400 Pidgey candy that...
Ooh, that's a lot.
I'm getting ready to use.
I'm actually sitting on quite a few myself. I think I've got... By the way, the time that it takes to evolve them, and given that you evolve one and you get back a candy... you're probably going to run out of time before you run out of Pidgeys.
Probably.
If you just sit there with nothing but Pidgeys.
But I wanted to... The way I wanted to do it is I wanted to get... I'm a level 23. I wanted to get to level 24 and just have this massive evolution party to get as close to level 25 as I could in one shot.
Yeah.
Not that these levels really mean much of anything anymore.
Nah, I mean, they give you stronger Pokemon.
Right. But... I don't know, I'm getting to the point, like I haven't, I don't have too many Pokemon, I have like 214 out of 250, so my box is getting pretty full, so I might just have to bite the bullet and do it anyway, but anyway, neither here nor there. My current buddy, like who's your current buddy right now?
It is a Staryu, because I'm actually really close to getting a Starmie.
Nice.
Yeah, and I found one that is, by the reviewer's opinion, really, really strong, and by its CP rating, already almost maxed out.
Hmm.
So this is probably going to be a rock star when I can finally get around to making a Starmie out of it.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm rolling with a Pikachu, which is nice because it only requires 1 kilometer to get a Pikachu candy. And I'm going to start at the beginning here. I was driving around work. I was actually driving instead of walking. And in this little golf cart, and my coworker Grail was sitting next to me, and he's playing Pokemon Go as we're driving.
Mm-hmm.
And we were driving around the back lot, and we passed the Fear Factor live show, and he looks over to me. He's like, "You're going to want to stop." So I was like, okay. So I pull over, I stop, pull up my phone, because I knew exactly what he was talking about. And there's a Pikachu.
Mm-hmm.
First Pikachu I'd ever encountered. This is great. So I caught the little thing. It was only like 11 CP. It was a little shrimp, but it didn't matter. I had another page for the deck. Just cross that one off the list.
Mm-hmm.
Simultaneously, I was hatching a 2K egg. It didn't hatch that day, it hatched the next day. And guess what? Another Pikachu. There it is. Two quick ones.
But hey, on the bright side, you probably got, what, 15, 20 candies out of it?
Right. I got some decent
and
amount
of candy. And that's the end of the story. Or is it?
It is not. I was still buddying up with a Diglett at the time. But not too long after that, I buddied up with a Pikachu. The Pikachu that hatched, it was like 440 CP, something like that. It was, you know, pretty decent.
Yeah.
And I was walking around work, and just by happenstance, like, Pikachu started, like, spawning more often, I guess more often than zero is still just, like, one or two. But I caught, like, a couple more Pikachu at work, and I really haven't seen too many since. But, you know, I'd built up, you know, a decent amount of candy. I still needed, like, 30 to evolve the thing, but, you know, it's only 30 kilometers. A buddy system will do the work for me. So I had Pikachu as my buddy, and I do most of my walking backstage, but every once in a while I'll go out to the park and show a little decorum. You put your phone away when you're in the park.
True.
I didn't close the screen because I wanted to count the steps. I should have gotten a Pokemon Go Plus. Because that would have avoided this whole goddamn situation. Because I put the phone in my pocket, and I walk around for like 10 minutes and just cut through the park to get to another destination. And I pull up my phone, and I'm on the, like, instead of like being on the map or the buddy screen or anything like that, I'm on the actual Pokemon screen. Like, I had gone through and selected a Pokemon from my box and like tapped on him to power him up, for example.
Yeah.
And I had powered up that Pikachu in my pocket. I had powered him up to the point where I used all of my candies and about 20,000 Stardust.
That sucks. That's right. Yep. At least you didn't release it.
Right. At least it was. That was the first thing it did. I saw like Stardust swirling in my box. Did anyone get away? What's happened here?
I hope you have starred this one, right?
Yes. I did star the one that I made the buddy, because that's the one I planned on evolving.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just one of those things where I like, now it's like, it's the CP meter is about 95% full, which is kind of cool, but
yeah, I just... you're back to square one on trying to get...
I had zero candy by the time...
What is it, 50?
Yeah, 50 candy to evolve the thing.
And it's only, well, it's only 1 kilometer. Right. I mean, 50 kilometers is not short, but...
like, at least it didn't happen.
You'll get back there before you know it, especially if they're spawning randomly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time you find one, that's 3 candies plus 1 if you just send it away.
Which, there are certain things where I've stopped sending them away immediately, because they're keep on, like, getting the rumors that there's going to be some sort of trade system implemented. Yeah. And, you know, if I can trade a, you know, something like I got a lot of, like, I can trade like a Golduck for somebody's Sandshrew and get a couple of Sandshrew out of that, then, you know, I got a bunch of...
Yeah, well worth it.
Yeah. I got a couple of Pokemon there that I didn't have yet.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not that big a deal. It was just kind of funny coming to the realization, like, oh, whoops, got to start all over with this thing.
Yep.
But some of the other things from that update, like the map is back in, so you can see the location of the Pokemon you caught. Great, sure. All right. And there's also some minor bug fixes. I mean, the game is running much smoother than it had in the past.
No, agreed.
Buttery smooth for the most part. Like, there were a couple of days, like right after the hurricane came through, where it was chugging a little bit. Understandable, though. Not a big deal.
I think I told you how I had my internet provider does this hotspot thing, where it's sort of like, if you just give them, if you log in with your credentials on the phone, if you're in range of one, it'll just automatically connect you. So you could kind of just be driving around, and while it's not this like permanent fixture of free internet, you kind of, well, you'll get it like almost everywhere you go. You'll be like 70% of the time you'll be connected, at least from where I live. But then I noticed that Pokemon Go hates that. Hates you jumping between your network provider and then any mobile hotspots or connecting into other locations. And they've really completely fixed that.
Yeah.
I mean, I do it all the time now, and I haven't had any issues with it. That was my one big... You know, and people freaked out about this game. Like, they've complained about everything. And I feel like I've been a pretty staunch defender of it. That's my one big complaint, is that, you know, I'd like to be able to hop from network connection to network connection, and now it goes as smooth as possible.
So. Yeah. I mean, there's still, like, minor things that happened. Like, there are a couple of times I got kicked out of gym battles that I was winning.
Yeah.
There was a couple of times, like sometimes my steps aren't counted exactly correctly, or like sometimes they aren't counted.
Well, I've noticed it's a flubbable thing, because like I'll just leave it on in my car and then I get somewhere and it's
like
it's tacked on tons of miles.
You turn it on and you're like, you see your character running around all over the place with the GPS signal trying to like find, like, and those steps will count.
I'm certain that I'm getting more from that than I am losing from it.
Right. Well,
like many, many times over.
I mean,
I am, certainly.
There are times where, like, from the particular department where I work, which I won't talk about, there are two basically locations. One for the Iowa
side. You work in the underground prison that they
have. Right. It's a torture chamber. It's a torture chamber, yeah. and it's a prison. There are some, like, it's cutting edge stuff. Some of it's really experimental. It's mostly for children. It's fine.
All the cosmetics products you use, they're figured out in this room.
Right. There's a location on the Iowa side of the park. There's a location on the USF side of the park, and it's about 1.5 kilometer from one side to the other. So sometimes when I'm going from one side to the other, it won't count any of those steps. So I miss out on 1.5 kilometers.
Mm.
I feel like I don't always make that up with just the general wandering around that the GPS does. But for the most part, it's fine. Like, these are minor things that will probably be smoothed out as more updates come.
Sure.
The big thing is you can get more than 10 minutes of sustained gameplay out of it, which is something I was not getting when this first came out. So
yeah,
you the game is playable, which is a good thing. Minor things, like sometimes it's funny. And it's funny because I just have this embarrassment of riches of Pokeballs. I just have 125 of these things. My bag is filled up at all times.
Oh, yeah.
So there are times when I flick a Pokeball and it just goes off in a wild direction.
Yeah.
It's just this weird little bug that happens every once in a while.
Oh, it's like one of those glitchy, like, I remember I used to play a game when I was younger. It was like some motocross game. But if you just kind of, if there was like some sort of like indent, you could kind of pop your tire in it. Like you were just goosing it a little bit. And then because the game was just not well designed, you would suddenly, like, it was like you were shot straight up out of a cannon and you were spinning around like all crazily. It's just the game didn't have the proper physics to accommodate for you just like goosing a tire into a corner wall.
Nice.
And it's like, yeah, that happens. It's going to happen.
But, you know, again, not that big a deal. Have you considered getting the Go Plus? Has that crossed your mind at all?
Sure, I'd be about that.
Yeah, I don't know how much it's going for right now. Like the day after it came out, I checked Amazon. It's like $130.
No, oh, well, I mean,
hard like, pass.
By the way, this is not like something that is a one-time deal, and this is gonna stop. We're on the first of six gens, and I like it. I'm going to keep playing. Yeah, so.
Gen 7 is about to come out.
Yeah,
and I don't know how far
I'm okay
away
with this. Yeah.
I don't know how far away we are from getting, like, another gen introduced. I kind of feel like the next one they might go with might be, like, bringing some Gen 7 Pokemon.
Well, I go back to our discussion we had where we were talking about the drop-off, the drop-off in usage, and how it was really not much at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, considering how massive the base is for this, I was really surprised at just how few people had actually quit the game entirely.
Yeah.
I mean, I know someone that, like, just outright removed it from their phone. But I think for the most part, everyone still kind of just does that thing where they check in every once in a while. They boot it up and they'll clock a little time and I guess it counts.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is going anywhere. I'm sure they've got a little bit of a cash cow here and they're happy about it.
Yeah, there was like, the drop-off has been a bit more significant than the last time we talked about it. Again, it's really not that big a deal.
Yeah.
But like, there was like 1 week where it dropped out from the top spot of like the App Store charts for like revenue or usage or something like that. But like the next week, it was right back at the top. So, I mean, this game, people are still playing it, and they should. It's a fun game. It's a fun game to have going on when you're just walking around doing your daily business or just taking a walk in a park or something like that.
And the lifespan on these is so short, though, so I don't know how long they think they have to go before they release the second gen.
I don't know. I mean, the next
update... Because look at where we are, because we're playing this game pretty heavily, I feel like. I'm sure as compared to average users, we're probably well exceeding them. And I'm still, like, I've got, like, 80 Pokemon.
You're like halfway
150.
There. Yeah.
You know? So there's a lot of work to be done.
I don't know that it's... I kind of don't want it to be. I'll phrase it this way. I kind of don't want to have any other generation introduced quite yet. Because there's still things... Like, they've talked about the next update they want to do.
You're right. That's a better thing. It's better that they actually expand the features of the game before they expand the Pokedex.
What was the next update? They talked about it recently because it should be coming soon. The big thing that they're going to update, like the big thing to me anyway, is that, you know, those medals that you get for like you walked this far, you visited this many Pokestops,
yeah, you caught this 50 poison types.
Right. So the you get the gold medal for you caught this many normal type, this many flying type. It then makes it easier to catch those types, which is great because
very cool. Yeah.
Because then you get all these water types and then you run into this Slowpoke that's like 400, 500 CP, and you don't need another Slowpoke. You're probably just going to catch and release it. You can just throw a Pokeball at it and has a better chance of staying in there rather than breaking out and having to spend 3 or 4 Pokeballs trying to get this thing that you don't need.
Oh, could you imagine that? Like, if you found a hotspot for, say, Aerodactyl, and you're like, all of those Pidgeys you caught now mean something.
Right. Yeah, that's another reason. And I usually make it a point to try to catch everything I encounter just because that's the way you're going to build experience in Stardust, and that's the way you're going to grind out the game. But, like, it now has that extra value. Like, why do you want to catch another Caterpie? Well, you know, maybe one day you're going to run into a Heracross that you're going to want.
Yeah, good point.
But yeah, that's, I think that fully fleshing out like all the features like that, that's a really smart idea. Getting some sort of trading in there. And they haven't even done any sort of like legendary event or anything like that, which I think was like
Yeah, that's like the big tease. What are they going to do about that? Because there's like, they don't have Ditto. And I can understand them not having Ditto in the first place.
Right.
Just totally excluding it because it's a gadget. I mean,
it doesn't really have any function.
It might as well be a tool in the game rather than an actual Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
I
think it'll show up eventually, just because people are going to want to fill up the entire decks.
Yeah, true.
But, like, they don't have any of those legendaries available. So I think that they're probably going to want to at least have some events to get legendaries into people's phones before they go introducing entire new gens. I mean, I would guess.
True, yeah. I mean, that is a good point. And there's also the location-specific ones. Like, we'd have to go to fucking Japan if we ever wanted to get a Farfetch or
right,
something.
Right, right. Which, like, again, trading fixes that problem.
Yeah. Oh, wait, is Tauros the U.S. one?
Tauros is the U.S. one.
Oh, nice. I got some decent trade bait.
There you go.
Helen, Georgia. Oh, I didn't even finish that. I went up to Boston because of the whole hurricane business, right?
Yeah.
Thanks, Wes. Yeah, thanks, Wes. Yeah. So my company was a little concerned about the hurricane, and we have to release the information about the funds that we work on.
Mm-hmm.
I am an accountant. I don't know if I've ever said that. But I work on mutual funds. So we have to release the stuff on a day-to-day basis. And they sent us all up to a office that they have in Boston because Boston was not impacted by this at all.
Sure, yeah.
And it turns out here in Central Florida, it wasn't that bad from what I hear. Like, my place never lost power.
We never lost power here.
Most people I know never lost any
power. A lot of people did lose power. Like, a lot of people up in, like, Volusia County, which is a little bit north
of
us.
The coast, yeah. The coast of Florida was hit very hard. And North Carolina especially got absolutely wrecked.
I mean, but like here in Orlando and in Central Florida, we're usually decently far enough inland to where if a hurricane is going up the coast, we'll get some wind, we'll get some rain, we'll get some yard debris.
Yeah.
Some people did lose power around here. Some lakes really flooded over, like in the park we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
But no major damage.
Oh, like nothing compared to like Hurricane Charlie. We had this hurricane back in 2004 that was pretty bad for Central Florida.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that one just cut straight through the state.
Yeah. So I was up in Boston. And it was a great time. I spent most of the time working, but at least I got one day to go out and have some fun. And again, it really established that they're all very regional. Like, no matter where you are, you're going to find not very unique. Nothing's very unique. Unique is a singular thing. You don't need that qualifier. Yeah. You will find unique Pokemon. And so, like, I noticed that Boston is like Machop City.
Nice.
Yeah, there's lots of Machop, lots of Ghastly. It was great, you know, like just going all over. Because I was actually, one of the places we went to was a bar that's like built into Fenway Park, which is cool because you can see the plate from the bar. It's all underground.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know where they keep the bullpens, I guess, for the pitchers? It seems like it's pretty close to there.
Oh, nice.
And there's actually a gym right on home plate. Or not home plate, right on the pitcher's mound.
That's funny.
So it's like right in the middle, and you're almost there. You're like almost right on top of it. You can reach it, but
Could you imagine how hotly contested that would be? Just like during a game or something.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
Just the constant battle. The constant
warfare. You say like half the people on the stands are swiping away at their phones.
Yeah. Oh, so that was great. And yeah, it makes me want to, like, every time I travel. That's probably the bigger thing about it. I wish I traveled more. Because I think that's the fun. Like, I remember when we were using one of those navigating, or like the ones that would show you where things are. Its default location was the Santa Monica Pier. And I remember seeing how many Kabuto were there. Like, have you ever seen a Kabuto?
No, never.
In that one location, like right in the heart of it, you were surrounded by like 10 of them.
That's funny.
Like, depending upon where you are, you're going to find all sorts of crazy stuff. Mm. So it's even if you aren't the type to play it on a day-to-day basis, even if you're not that type, it's going to, like, take out your phone and actually clock some time on it. If you're ever traveling, who knows? Like, see what character all of these places have.
Right, right.
Mm. All right. We didn't talk about competitive stuff. I've actually been playing, like the first time we talked about it, I didn't do a single battle. The second time we talked about it, I think I had a couple battles and I didn't know what was going on. Now I do tons of battles, and I really am into it. I think it's a lot of fun. I mean, how do you feel about battles?
I could take them or leave them.
Really?
I mean, yeah, you just kind of tap, you swipe every once in a while. I feel like, and I don't know if we talked about this, because I fought a gym, and it was a low-level gym. It had a Raichu in it. And I was like, you know, I'm going to be a bit tricky here. I'm going to throw out my really shitty Diglett. And guess what? That Raichu can't do anything. I'm a ground type. And then,
not so much.
Imagine my surprise when I start getting hit with thunder shocks. And it wasn't very effective, but I also wasn't immune. I was like, oh, okay, this is different and new and weird, and I'm uncomfortable now because I hate new things.
Maybe the immunity is something they took out entirely. Because I think I would imagine I've hit normal type. I'm pretty certain I've hit normal types with a guy that I have that uses Astonish.
So
it could have, maybe people would just be freaking out. Maybe the casual player that didn't know how Pokemon type alignments work would just be like, the fuck, why can't my move work? This guy sucks. I'm going
to
release him.
You're going to have to learn. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
True.
Get better.
I'm not excusing it. I'm just maybe thinking if that's why that is the way it is.
Maybe they don't want to, maybe it was just easier for them. And I guess it is more mainstream to have to learn all the big ins and outs. But what are the other implications there? I imagine Fairy is no longer immune to Dragon. Do dual types come into consideration? Is Gyarados actually double weak to Electric?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing I've noticed is that some of the guys that people think are rock stars that hold down gyms are like your Gyarados, Lapras, Vaporeon. And they get rocked hard if you're getting them with a type that they're not resistant to. And I've noticed that some of my guys that are not that strong, like my Executor, can really just clean up gyms for things that are 300, 400 CP stronger than it, just because it uses Solar Beam and it has I think the default tap move is Psychic.
Oh, nice.
Solar Beam is just a cannonball move.
Yeah.
Like, it just really destroys things. So
yeah,
it makes it fun. It makes it fun thinking of type alignments, how to play, like how to construct your team before you go into a gym, because they're gonna give you, like, the game just recommends certain Pokemon, so it knows what's in the gym.
Yeah.
By the way, I actually saw, I see so many Vaporeons and Dragonites and Gyarados. You get kind of bored of seeing the same fights over and over again. But one of the funnest gyms I saw is someone had two Porygons and a Clefable.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, this is the gym?
That's funny.
And that Clefable was actually kind of rough, surprisingly.
Yes, the couple of times where I've taken over a gym, and I'd fought gyms before, I was at work, so I wasn't going to hold the gym down long. So I just tried to put, like, some funny stuff in there, like some stuff that wasn't great that someone could have come up behind me and trained so the gym level could get up higher.
Yeah.
So one time I threw a Wigglytuff in there, and Wigglytuff did all right. It lasted, like, maybe half an hour.
Yeah.
And then one time I just, like, threw in a really big Golbat that I have. It was like, all right, let's just see how people deal with this. Because you do see a lot of the same stuff in gyms over and over again. Like Vaporeons, I see Executors a lot, Gyarados all the time. I see Dragonite occasionally, but Arcanine I see fairly often.
Somebody brought up a good point where they were talking about how the game is imbalanced for the first gen. If you think about, like, how devastating Alakazam used to be in the game. For some reason, I guess just the way that the game is built, speed doesn't really matter anymore.
Sure.
It's really about how quickly you can use the attacks. That's what really matters.
Mm-hmm.
And how Executor is just, by default, better than Alakazam. It's stronger in, like, every regard. And that's partly why you don't... Well, for one, Abras, from my play experience, are very rare. So it's hard to get that Alakazam in the first place, but you wouldn't want to because the Executor is a better option in the first place. So, I don't know. And that comes from us playing this game for 15 years or whatever.
That's the way it is. It's a different game. You've got to either adjust or, you know, just have fun catching stuff. And I have more fun catching stuff than I do battling gyms, so I don't do it very often.
Yeah. So it's something that really needs to be worked on, but I'm enjoying it. So,
yeah,
good stuff.
I do want to get into some of the nuts and bolts because my Pokedex has grown quite a bit since the last time we talked. I mentioned Pikachu, got a couple of him, and I evolved a Gloom into a Vileplume. It was very cool.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, Vileplume is actually kind of cool. I hatched a bunch of Oddish. Like, I used to get Oddish out of eggs all the time. I actually probably hatched more Oddish than I got in the wild.
Yeah.
But I also hatched a Ponyta, which is very cool.
That's great.
Yeah, pretty strong one, too. It was like CP was 838, was about 90% full. I'm not sure what all the underlying stats are, like how big it is or anything like that. But I hatched a couple of cool things. I hatched a Cubone, which is cool, because I had never had one of those before. I hatched a Porygon, which is very cool.
Porygon is great.
Excited about that one. And I was actually really close to evolving a Krabby into a Kingler. I was two candies away. Uh-huh. And guess who pops up? Wild Kingler. Just in the parking lot at work.
Ouch.
So yeah, well, I caught it.
All that work.
And, you know, I'll probably evolve a different Krabby anyway. I'll just hang on to that until I can use a lucky egg. But because this Kingler wasn't very good. It was like a CP, maybe 400 at most.
Mm.
I caught a Wild Grimer. It was the first time I got one of those. Very cool.
Nice.
Oh, and similar to Kingler, I was maybe 10 or 12 candies away from a Starmie, and guess who pops up?
Starmie.
Wild fucking Starmie. It wasn't super strong, but you know, I like Starmie, so it was cool to just grab him, so I did. I caught a Wild Dodrio. I caught a Wild Electabuzz, two of them. Actually, nice. I think I might have three or four at this point as some trade bait. But there's a spot at work, actually, by the Men in Black ride, where they spawn pretty frequently.
Really?
Yeah.
I got one out of a 10K egg, if I recall correctly.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, I really need that Magmar, though. So, no.
And I think that covers pretty much all the stuff that I had caught or evolved or hatched. I mean, I found a couple other things here and there, like a Pinsir, and I found some stronger Scythers. I evolved a couple more Gyarados. It's just that embarrassment of riches of Magikarp. They're just fucking everywhere. Eevees. I doubled up on Vaporeon and Flareon. I'm still trying to get the elusive Jolteon now because the naming trick doesn't work anymore. I guess that was buried in an update somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I'm having my own troubles with it. I do have a Jolteon. Mm-hmm. It's just not very strong.
Right.
And I've been evolving some of the ones that I have that are pretty well built up so they would at least be something useful. And every single fucking time. Well, not every single time. I have yet to get that Jolteon, but I've already got two Vaporeons out of it and a Flareon that I don't need because I already had one of all of them.
Right.
So now I've got all of these Vaporeons, who are, you know, strong, they're pretty popular, but at the same time, I really just want one good Jolteon. Because many water types and flying types I see that are so popular.
Yeah, I mean, a good electric type is going to be able to mow down a bunch of gyms, and my Jolteon, let me look him up real quick, because I would like another one as well. I've done a little bit of work on this Jolteon, but most of it was prior to the update when it was, you know, where you could see, like, the stats and stuff. This Jolteon is small. It's like 10.13 kilogram, which I guess the game considers small. But anyway, so it's hard to justify dumping more candy and Stardust into them.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Is that how the science mechanic works? That's a big deal.
Yeah. Like poor Emmett.
The bigger they are, the better they are.
I guess.
I really don't know how that works.
but anyway, like the only one that I've seen but haven't got was there's a Snorlax at work.
Yeah.
And
I've seen a few Snorlaxes at gyms. They seem like they're pretty popular.
Yeah, definitely. But this fucking guy, I saw the silhouette and I walked around a little bit outside and he popped up. The first thing I did, of course, was to throw him a raspberry. Like, don't you go anywhere, you stay right here. And then Ultra Ball broke out, and then he dashed. Like, you fucker.
Yeah.
God. Yep, I was pretty pissed about that one.
We're using raspberries too? Like, because I've noticed that sometimes they'll run away even if you use a raspberry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It kind of sucks.
But anyway. Oh, and the thing that I'm most proud of course, is my Dragonite.
Mm-hmm.
I evolved. I took a Dratini all the way up to Dragonite. And it's look at that guy. Look how beautiful he is.
Named him Falcor. Nice.
Yep. Named him Falcor.
Yeah.
I like to give nicknames. Extra large weight, which I guess is cool. I've maxed out his CP. He's got Steel Wing and Hyper Beam, so, you know, it doesn't have the Dragon-type move in there. But I don't know that stabs mean anything in this game.
Not really.
So
it's probably better just that it's a dragon, that it's really only weakness is ice.
Mm-hmm.
So you're worried about something like Ice Beam, I guess. But
yeah,
for the most part, it's pretty safe. Or I guess there are fairy moves, too. I've seen things with Dazzling Gleam.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So that is technically a problem, but I don't know. I mean, considering that you get resistances to three core types and electric is great.
And yeah, one of those core types is around here all the time. Like, I guess, like, Vaporeon sometimes has ice-type moves.
Yeah.
Lapras, he'll have some ice-type moves. But, you know, it's got to, like, if I ever decide to do some battling, it's got to play it smart there.
Yeah.
Anyway, you got, like,
that should be your anchor. You should be putting that up on every gym.
Yeah.
Just to fuck with people.
You got any, like, nicknames you're particularly proud of?
Not really. Like, that's what's so... you know, I love nicknaming. Mm-hmm. I really love nicknaming Pokemon, but a lot of these are just so churnable. I don't really... You know, like, a lot of the ones. Like, I still... I have a hard time... I'm not releasing the first Bulbasaur I got when I started the game.
Right.
I know that one's got a nickname. I mean, I've got, like... I like to use the names of gods, like Greek, Roman gods.
Sure.
Pontus is a famous primordial god, the god of the ocean. So that's what I named my first Vaporeon that I got. And he's now my third strongest Vaporeon. And I haven't named the other two.
It's true. Unless you're like spending that Stardust and that candy, you know, you're going to run into stronger stuff later.
Yeah. I mean, I have a Dratini named Puff. I thought it would be fun. Because, like, you know, Dragonites, they look a little derpy. They look a little stupid. Oh, you do too.
Yeah, I sure do.
I mean, I named my Jolteon Tesla. I like using that, and EMP are good for electric types.
I named mine Emmett Brown.
Oh, I like that. That's really nice.
Well, I like to name my Eevees. Like, I named, like, my Vaporeon, I named them Long John and Blackbeard.
Uh-huh.
My Flareons are Firebrand and Texas Pete.
Nice. Oh, Firebrand. That was the name of...
the demon and...
Yeah, I used that for my Super Nintendo run-through.
Oh, that's right, you did.
It was like that and Big Boo.
like my executor is Sunnyside.
I like that.
My haunter is Fiend.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the major nicknames. I don't think I've nicknamed much of anybody else. Oh, no, wait, you nicknamed my Arcanine Cerebrus.
I'm glad you like that. I named my Ivysaur Bougainvillea, which is a plant specific to Florida that makes roses seem cozy. The things have thorns like you wouldn't believe.
But yeah, I'm having a good time with this game. It's fun.
Me too. How long have we been talking about this? Like half an hour?
Half an hour, yeah.
Jesus.
But anyway, should we break here and then come back with some other stuff?
Yeah, sounds good.
Cool. Playing Uranium.
That I am. Yeah. I am still playing it. I think it's been a little while since we talked about it.
Yeah.
I'm really not that much further in it. I've played quite a bit, but I'm around gym 4 or 5 at this point.
You're playing on a PC, yeah?
Yeah.
So it's not exactly like portable. You can't like just bust it out anywhere.
True.
You feel like it.
Yeah, if I want to play it, it's I mean, I have a laptop so I could go somewhere mm-hmm. and play it, but it's not the sort of thing where I can just clock 10-15 minutes whenever I feel like it.
Right.
So you kind of have to want to sit there and sit down and play an RPG, essentially. I think when we last talked about it, I was probably gushing a little too much. Not that I'm going to step back from anything I said. The game is incredible. It really is fantastic. But I would maybe be a little more focused on the things that I really appreciate about the game. And I think the things that really stick out are just how robust the game is, how it is essentially its own full game.
Right.
And I think... You are really, really going to like it a lot. And yeah, like, part of me does kind of miss the pixel look. Mm-hmm. It feels like a legitimate sequel to the series of games. And the fact that they included trading, that they have all of these other extra features, really provides you a full experience in playing the game. And it's a ton of time clocked playing it. And you can get kind of however deep into the experience as you like, you know, as you can... build your team and have all these other things. I've also gotten to the point where I have fully evolved some things.
Oh, nice.
So if you'll humor me,
yeah.
we're gonna go down this list a little bit.
Let's do it.
So I finally evolved my starter type. I went with the Grass Steel combo, who becomes Metalinx. And it's really great. It's almost like, because it's not the first Grass Steel. I think there's one other Grass Steel the game has ever had in its existence. That's what, Ferrothorn?
Oh, yeah, Ferrothorn. And
Ferrothorn's kind of a tank.
Fortress, I think, actually Fortress, I think, is a bug steel. Yeah, he's got to be a bug steel.
Yeah, so, yeah, you're right. Yeah. So it plays a little different in that it's not so tanky, it's more of an attacker.
Oh, yeah?
And I really like it. Actually, if anything, the game has some fantastic steel types because, and I'll talk about the other one in a minute, but this one in particular is great. And again, they did this thing where it's like they don't have two evolutions. They don't have the two evolutions. They just have the one. So you have a starter and then a round. Like, you're used to your third stage hitting, like, around, what, level 35?
Yeah. 32, 34, yeah.
You're going to get this one around... it is exactly 28.
Okay.
So that's when it fully evolves. And, you know, I mean, again, that's your kind of stat distribution. You would expect it to be pretty defensive, but it's only got 95 attack, 85 health, so...
That is decent.
Yeah. It's really, really fun to play with. It's... The closest thing I can compare it to is actually getting that 6th-gen grass type.
Chestnut,
who I think is fantastic. I mean, aside from Bulbasaur, it's... I mean, if I were making a list of the top 5 starters, it would be in there no matter what. And Bulbasaur is better than this, but not by much. Like, I think they're both great. And this is... And by the way, like, I'm treating the... I feel like as I play this game, they might as well be canon. I mean,
you're looking at this on Bulbapedia, so I think that counts.
No, this is actually a fan website that's designed to mirror Bulbapedia.
Oh, okay. It's a fan-made site for the fan-made site.
Pretty much. Yeah, but I kind of like the design here of this website. Oh, and by the way, I'm on the Uranium Wikia, so just Google Pokemon Uranium, and it's probably going to be one of the first few links. Yeah, and they did the cool thing where it's like a fire ground. The game's never had a fire ground as a starter. A water electric, again, as a starter, the game's never had that. Your Chinny Monk is, it's sort of like they decided they weren't going to have a normal starter, or sorry, like that Rattata.
Yeah.
And they were like, let's just merge it with a Pikachu. So they gave you this guy, because it ultimately becomes an electric type. This Burby, which is sort of a statusy guy, looks, and by the way, like the art design on all of them is really cool, really well thought out. The main bug you get for starters becomes a bug fairy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You get this guy, Barul, early on, and I think I brought him up because he is just so fucking great. It's the thing that the game has never given you, like with the steel type. There's never been a pure... I mean, there's never been a... I think there have been pure steel types. Have there? Can you think of one pure steel?
There's gotta be.
But they aren't like tanks, and this one is. Because the thing that's so nice about steel is that you really don't have to think about it, because you have so many defenses and only a couple of weaknesses. You're worried about what? Fire? You're worried about fighting? You know, where it makes ground?
Ground? Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're pretty much resistant to everything else.
And then everything else is you're pretty good against. So it's nice that the game gives you a 3-stage Pokemon that starts as rock steel and then ditches the rock to become pure steel. Like, one of my favorite, and I don't deal much with the Mega Evolutions, but the fact that Mega Aggron not only becomes insanely strong, but ditches its rock type, I love. I think it's so cool that it's just a pure steel.
There are certain type combinations where it seems like they don't do anything for the Pokemon except for, like, gimp it in some way. Like, pretty much when you pair anything with normal, like, what is that doing for you? Or when, like, you're pairing poison with grass.
Yeah.
What is that actually doing for? Like, every Gen 1 grass type, except for Tangela, is paired with poison. And especially in Gen 1, where Psychic is so overpowered, it doesn't do anything for you except make things harder.
Yeah, a lot of those, I think, were them. Like, it's the same reason that flying always has that normal type.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want flying to be too strong, because... And they also didn't want to totally neuter, like, the fighting type, because if you do that, their game has so many flying types. Even the legendaries are flying types. It just makes fighting seem like the thing you never need. I mean, yeah, it's good against normal. Who cares?
I think it's like probably around Gen... I think they probably tried to give fighting an overhaul in Gen 4 with Lucario. But like Gen 5 is where they kind of turned around the fighting type.
Yeah.
And really, I guess maybe like introduced more dark type or something like that to help balance it out.
Mm-hmm. I want to show you one real quick. So this guy, what does that look like to you? The one at the very bottom here. I have not scrolled it up because it's a poison type. Does it look like
anything?
Like,
it's like a bat or a flying squirrel or something.
And what does it become? A pig.
Of course it does.
It's great because when you first encounter, and these are all over the caves. When you first encounter it, you're like, okay, so this is my fucking Zubat in the game. And they actually turn it into something that is, again, it's, I don't know, it's more of a physical type. Yeah, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing and show you all the crazy stuff. But a couple of interesting things, okay? So they have Mankeys in the game, and the Mankeys become Primeapes. And then they tack on a third stage. So it's sort of like nice. They're building on the existing lore of them. to add a little more to it.
Yeah, that's cool. That's something I wish Game Freak also did more often.
I want to find it real quick. Okay, so yeah, there was this, probably my favorite one so far that the game has introduced that's brand new, is Bashan, which is a fighting dark sheep.
Nice.
And I realized, finally, the reason why they did it is because this is supposed to be the sister Pokemon of Ampharos.
Oh, okay.
This is the night and day, I guess, light and dark angle that they're taking. It's a three-stage.
Cool.
So rather than being, and granted, electric and fighting dark, they don't make any sense together, but when you see them side by side, it makes perfect sense that that's what they wanted to do. And what is it? Buriet is every bit as awesome of dark fighting as Ampharos is awesome as an electric. Just fantastic to play with. If anything, I feel like this game favors physicals. Most of the ones that I've been playing with are physical types, and they're physical attackers. You know, you've got Glysaur and Sableye. Like, the game is just, it's fantastic. You know, everywhere you go is just brimming with fun Pokemon. And lots of, just, I mean, if you want to scroll through the Pokedex, feel free.
How many do they have? Do they?
Like 200-something.
Okay.
Yeah, it's more than 150, but, you know, it doesn't get too crazy.
200, exactly. And then, well, you know, get into your legendary sort of thing. Oh.
Quite, yeah, and they have a bunch of legendaries.
Yeah, quite a bit of legendaries. Wow.
Yeah, and I think the thing that... Oh, and I finally figured out, okay, so there is this new type that the game introduces, and it's nuclear.
Oh, right.
And what nuclear does is it basically amplifies the Pokemon itself, which is weird to think, because it basically means that every other single type in the game, you are now super effective and weak to. Double weak too. So if you have that type, it just makes you, sure, it makes you stronger with everything, like every nuclear attack or whatever is going to be stronger, but it also means that you take damage much faster. So it really makes you think about what you intend to do with it. And there's only a handful of Pokemon that can pick it up. Like Arbok, Gyarados picks it up. There's a few specific ones in there that are unique to the game that also pick up that nuclear type. So, it's probably the one truly different thing about this compared to the other ones, where, I mean, on top of the fact that they're building essentially this brand new Pokedex, they have this new type in here that they're playing around with, and it doesn't try to mix up the existing dynamic. It just takes what it is and then it amplifies it, which is a really cool touch. So they're not trying to say, like, this type is overpowered, this type is underpowered, we're going to make it weak to this, but resistant to this. They're just like, no, everything. Everything. It just makes your Pokemon a cannon, but fragile. I mean, like the prototypical glass cannon that you always talk about in RPGs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, and again, I really want to hammer that point home. This game is incredibly well designed. The artwork is gorgeous. I remember playing it during the day, and then it became nighttime, and then the city lit up. Like, seeing the lights in the town come on was gorgeous. Like, beautiful, beautiful stuff. The music is incredible. Play it with headphones. Listen to how lush the score is. It's great. I'm really loving this. Having played, you know, so many randomizers and all these other modded versions of the game, someone really took the time to pretend as though they were Game Freak and, like, made a game. Made a real game. And not like, made some fake spinoff or try to do anything crazy. They're like, this is a real game, and we're going to show you how well we can integrate it with the real Pokemon by just giving you some of them. We're going to give you 10 Pokemon from the actual game. And that way you can see where all of these would naturally fit in with this world with Pokemon. So, yeah, it's a labor of love, and these guys really, really just hit it out of the park. This is one of the most fun Pokemon games I've ever played, and it's not even a legit game. Nintendo should embrace this, if anything. I don't really... they have to know. And Nintendo has to know that their game is being totally abused by people playing emulators. And has been forever. Right? It's not like they're losing a buck to people doing this. I don't think. I mean, it's different for some other franchises that have to worry about people playing modded versions of the game more than they play the official game. I feel like this is one of those games that gets better by the fan base embracing it and wanting to make their own thing out of it.
Well, it's a tough situation, because if they don't squash the good ones, and then the bad ones start coming, you know? And it's one of those things where you either have to do it with everything or everyone starts doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think the last time we talked about this, we talked about, like, within the span of a month, Nintendo squashed, like, three different fan projects. And, you know, if they stop doing it, just all stop. Like, we won't... Or if they just, like, see, like, quality ones, say, like, okay, we're going to let you stick around because this looks like a good project. If they just start squashing the garbage, then it becomes a problem when there starts to become more stuff populating the fan scene. Because then you start like, well, why would I buy the Nintendo one when there's five fan ones coming out within the next month?
Yeah. That's a good point.
So like, it sucks that these guys, like, made this really quality project and not a lot of people will get to play it. Like, they spent a lot of time, they put a lot of effort into doing this, and it sucks. There's no other way of putting it. It sucks for them to have to go through all of that effort and not have their product out there. But yeah. I
would just hope the olive branch of a job offer was extended to them to at least come on board.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, this is fantastic.
I think, you know, that would be a happy medium. I think, like, mm-hmm. if the Nintendo legal ninjas had to step in and be like, wait a second, you can't do this. But then someone someone else was able to step in and is like, but if you were to do this for the 3DS eShop, so people could download it on our hardware...
I was thinking it would be funny if it was, like, a Bizarro world. Like, you know, there's, like, the Superman and there's Bizarro, right? Like, what if inside of the newest Pokemon game, you actually go to play your computer, and then this game boots up?
That would be funny. Like,
what would they... Huh. I wonder what the developer would actually take as a paycheck for something like that.
Anyway.
So, yeah. Really great. Pokemon Uranium. Everyone should go check it out.
I've been playing a run-through of Fire Red. On that there GBA SP.
That's awesome.
Yeah, busted that thing out. I just beat the Fuchsia Gym,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of did things a little bit out of order. I took a sidestep after Fuchsia because I wanted to use some Pokemon that I had rarely used. So I did take along, like, I started with a Squirtle, and I grabbed a Pikachu, and they're kind of anchoring the team. They're just some familiar faces to have some Pokemon to lean on in case I get into trouble. But I went with an Oddish. I grabbed a Mankey early on because you can get it pretty early in that version. I also took Marowak and Aerodactyl. And Aerodactyl was the big sidestep that I took because you can only surf after you beat the Fuchsia Gym. And then what you can do is I flew over to Pallet, surfed down to Cinnabar from Pallet, and went ahead and revived that Aerodactyl fossil. So I'll be able to use him through a good chunk of the game here.
What level does it come out as?
5.
So yeah, you got a little work on it.
Yeah, came out at level 5 out of his fossil, and knew only wing attack. But at that point, I was running with a Pidgeotto just as a flyer, and he got benched. Aerodactyl has become my flyer, and then actually there is a move tutor in the Gen 1 remakes inside Rock Tunnel, and he will teach a Pokemon Rock Slide. And hey, guess what? Aerodactyl can actually learn Rock Slide in this version.
Yeah.
So
unlike the original.
Right. Where he doesn't learn any rock or flying moves. But he says, yeah, he's going to be a solid Pokemon, it seems, when, you know, he catches up to everyone else. And, you know, everyone is like early to mid-30s in there. So I'm plugging along. And I actually think the one thing that I didn't want to talk about was that the structure of the game is largely unchanged. Because you just played this back-to-back with the virtual console games. We just had to run through those. And it's fun to see how little work, like, aside from, like, a graphical facelift and a few, like...
The navigation, cosmetic stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, the menus are a little cleaner.
Right.
It's easier to use. You can carry more items, maybe?
Yeah, you can carry more items. You have different pockets for different type items. So, like, have your, like, your medical items, you have your Pokeballs, and then you have your key items, which also has your TM case.
Mm-hmm.
So things are divided up more user-friendly. But aside from that, like, the actual structure to the progression of the game is largely unchanged. So I think it's just a testament to how well that game was structured to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is a game that is really well designed in the way that it's asking you to progress. And, you know, we harp, or I specifically, I'll own up to it, I harp about, like, the sort of cumbersome nature an artificial nature of HMs, but you know, they're functional. They do tend to clutter up your moveset, but yeah. They definitely channel you exactly where they want you to go until you get to the certain point where you're like, okay, go hog wild, figure out this stuff for yourself.
And they also try to at least show you the things that are going to be useful later on. You know, so you mm-hmm. see the bricks you can't move, you see the trees you can't cut down.
Sure.
You see the boulders that you need to push. You see bodies of water that are just kind of like, you're clearly supposed to go down this path, but then there's this little patch of water, and you're like, well, I wonder what's there.
Yeah.
So you certainly can't surf yet, but you will eventually, and you'll be like, okay, so now that I can do this thing, I remember here and here I saw these features. Maybe I should go back and explore.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you do that, you know, you don't find things that are essential. You don't find things you absolutely need. But hey, maybe it's got a great move. Maybe it's got a TM there that you can't access yeah. otherwise. Or maybe it's got some nice item or some unexplored little part of the game.
And that's actually one of my favorite parts about the second generation, is just starting back from the first town and running through the map and just exploring, because it's got a ton of little places tucked away. Fifth gen as yeah. well also has a... Because you don't even get the ability to surf until real late in the game. So there are all these different places that you can go that are huge sections of the map that you had no access to.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, like there's a couple other user-friendly changes that...
By the way, where is Fire Red in the scope of the other games? Like, is it between gens? What gen does it come between? Like, is this between third and fourth? Second and third?
Yeah,
like
it was between 2 and 3. Or, sorry, no, it was between gens 3 and gen 4. So it came after Ruby Sapphire, but before Diamond Pearl.
Okay.
And, oh, so just a couple other little user-friendly changes. You got your running shoes. There are, of course, like, stat adjustments to certain Pokemon. You have the special attack and special defense. You have those stats split up. Just, like, the generational leaps. And it goes to show just how much, like, these small incremental changes can change a game. Just, like, a two-generation gap. Things started to take a form a lot more well-defined. But, yeah. It's a lot of fun. The team I'm rolling with isn't exactly well-balanced. I mean, I have both a rock and a ground type. It's not exactly a model of balance.
Well, I kind of like the fact that you start your game off with two contrasting types, right? You have your Blastoise and you have your Raichu.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying, like, you know, I got my water type and I got the thing that water's not good against. So you can always frame a battle around that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if you get that ground type? Well, clearly you have your water type. That's a good counter. I mean, I can't think of really a... And Electric itself is just so well built as a type.
Right.
That you have that one concern, and then beyond that, it's like, eh, whatever.
Yeah. And I do have the grass type in there as well. I'm not exactly sure, like, what it was that led me to pick these specific Pokemon, other than that I hadn't used them before. But mm-hmm. I was just kind of, like, scrolling through Pokedex, like, figuring out who I could get when. Like, okay, this looks like a pretty... a team that I can build pretty quickly into the game and roll with till the end. I think, like, my main concern at this point is maybe Psychics, because Psychics, especially in Gen 1, even in this remake, are pretty powerful. But my War Turtle does have Bite, so I can...
That's good.
...scrap my way through a battle. And I think Aerodactyl might also pick up
a
crunch.
There's a Psychic Trainer, right? Like, the Elite Four? Is there?
There is...
Ghost?
There's the Psychic Gym Leader, and in the Elite Four, yeah, there's a Ghost, but I think also the Ice type turn at the beginning might have like a Slowbro or something.
Mm.
So, you know, they're in there. But anyway, I think it's a good place to close it out. I think we're done here.
Yeah, sounds good.
Next up is going to be the Super Nintendo. We'll get to that in about a week. And
what have we got on tap?
We got a couple of good ones. We got Yoshi's Island.
Nice.
And we got Mega Man 7.
No, very good. Yeah, some platforming.
Yeah. And then we'll wrap it up at the end of the month with a official show. All the usual stuff. Hopefully get some Space Worlds in here.
Yeah, we need to watch some space movies.
Yeah.
I think that's going to help a lot.
Did you have any in mind? I think we've pretty well covered all the stuff we really like.
No, I mean, nothing off the top of my head that I can think of. I know there were some that I really wanted to talk about that... We'll get to eventually.
I had talked to Wes, I think I talked about it on a previous show, about like just having a month that's just like the show Firefly and the movie Serenity. Yeah. And just dedicate an entire month of Space Worlds to that.
Yeah. Oh, I kind of liked the idea that that is a good idea. But I also kind of like the idea of doing just a bad movie sort of thing, like a blank in space.
Yeah.
You know, like, because there is a Leprechaun in space. There's a Jason film where they send Jason into space.
Oh, yeah, like Jason X or something
there's,
like that.
There's so many bad movies out there where some insert villain in space that I think it'd be funny to talk about some of the really bad space movies.
Let's do
we've
that.
Talked to people, we've, I mean, really, we've hit a lot of the high notes. It's time to dig through the trash.
I think that October would probably be a good month to do that. Because a lot of these are sort of framed as horror movies, like Jason and Leprechaun. So, yeah, that might be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, until next time, everybody.
All right, later.